Welcome to Modern Practice, the podcast where you get to hear new ideas and strategies you can use in this era of COVID-19. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva, and on this episode, we'll focus on how the COVID crisis has affected pharmacy practice and lessons we learned from it. Joining me today is Stephen Lucio. Stephen, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and your current role here at Vizient.
Tom, thank you so much. Stephen Lucio, I am a pharmacist and also I lead the Center for Pharmacy Practice Excellence, which is a group of subject matter expert pharmacists here at Vizient that develop materials, drug information resources for our members. And as you can imagine, we've been quite busy over the last few months, as have our members. We've been trying to help them navigate this challenge. And it's great to be here in terms of being able to share this information because, as we've experienced, it's been quite a trying time. I think you would agree. And so any additional dialogue we can share, insights, we're happy to do it. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Stephen. Glad you're here. So let's get right to it. From your perspective, what are the main areas our colleagues need to focus on during this current crisis?
Tom, great question. And we've seen quite a few. One of the things, and I know it's been a focus of you and of Vizient, has been improving the extent of clinical supply integration. It's pretty hard to be clinically astute if you don't have the devices, the technologies, or the medications that you need. And so the resources that we have on our website, the education that we provided to help physicians feel more astute with the way in which clinical supply should occur, that's definitely something that has been prominent in COVID and we must continue. Another element has been the management of data. There's so much data coming towards us in so many different references about how to treat COVID, what drugs work, which ones don't. And again, as Vizient, we have done a lot of work to summarize that information, make it available on our website, and also through conversations like this. And then I think the last area has been drug shortages. Now, those are not new, but COVID just accentuated how negatively impactful they can be for healthcare. And so just really emphasizes the importance of physicians, prescribers, having a really tight connection with their pharmacists to know what they have, how to anticipate challenges, and how to work around them.
You know, you brought up the importance, particularly of supply chain integration. And as a physician, I'll be honest with you, particularly when I was a hospitalist, I never really thought about sitting down with my pharmacy colleagues and actually having that frank discussion of what's available, what's not available, and alternatives. So I think that particularly during this crisis and as we prepare for future pandemics or other crises, that's why it's important that those discussions start occurring now.
Absolutely. Usually, pharmacists and physicians focus a lot of their energies on the new medications, the high-cost products. And what we've learned is that even the older medicines that maybe don't cost that much can be just as critical. And that's why that conversation has to take place.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I've heard many times that we've been repurposing some legacy drugs specifically in the ICU. Can you elaborate a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. Again, we're in a very challenging circumstance. Although there's a lot of work for a vaccine, we don't have one yet. There's no universally accepted treatment. And so people are trying every circumstance, every medication, it seems, to figure out what might help improve the overall outcomes. HIV medicines, hydroxychloroquine, Actemra, which is a drug for rheumatoid arthritis. There's over 900 trials. And so the real challenge is that those drugs are needed for patients who've used them for other circumstances, not the new circumstance of COVID. So even again, having that conversation with your pharmacist colleagues, so that way you can understand what are the drug companies saying, what are the distributors saying, what are organizations like Vizient saying about their availability, the work that is ongoing to try and make more of those products available. Again, must be part of every dialogue that takes place these days.
You're absolutely right. There's just all this information going on. You've mentioned the 900 trials. One minute, one drug sounds promising. And then sometimes afterwards, we learn very soon that it's not. And then even some of the conflicting information we get from other parts of the world versus what our experience has been in our country as well.
Absolutely. And it creates such a dilemma. And we feel it very much from a pharmacist standpoint, because we're attempting to advise prescribers, doctors on the best course of treatment for very ill patients. I can't imagine what it's like for physicians, people in your shoes, attempting to actually make those decisions regarding, you know, severely ill individuals.
So are organizations stockpiling because of this?
You mentioned the S word, or sometimes people use the H word, hoarding. Yeah, no one wants to admit that they're doing it, but we know that it happens. And again, there's so much concern about having adequate products, and each of us as clinicians are held accountable to provide the best care that is possible. And it's something that is not novel to COVID. It's happened before, but COVID has made it much more of an issue. So one of the things that we've been doing, and this is something our listeners can actually go and look at themselves on our Vizient website or our personalized website, enddrugshortages.com, is a list of what we have cultivated in collaboration with our members of essential medications. So there's many medicines that we have, and they all have roles, but some are the most critical life-sustaining products. And a lot of those are the ones that actually are utilized in ICU patients, those with COVID. And so familiarizing yourself with those types of medications and making sure that those are at the top of your list for monitoring the availability within your organization, those are some very important steps that people should be taking.
You even describe it as being emotional purchasing. I mean, are we treating this like toilet paper?
Well, again, we would say that there is a little bit more of a necessity, but definitely that need, that conditioned response is there. And because we've had interruptions even before COVID in the supply of these critically essential medications. So until we are able to have a more reliable, sustainable, resilient supply chain, people are going to behave that way, because you know, as a physician, you've got to take care of your patient. And we've got to find some way to increase the transparency around it. There's many strategies that we're working on to make that information more easily available to end users, so that way they don't have to resort to this emotional purchasing.
Okay. And once again, everyone, that site for Vizient is www.enddrugshortages.com. When looking at some of the FDA regulation changes that occur, do you think they're here to stay?
We certainly hope that some of them are. We definitely want to acknowledge agencies within the federal government, like you said, the FDA, that have really gone out of their way to be as responsive as possible. They've done things like approved additional supplies of, for example, albuterol. As many of our listeners are likely aware of, the use of the metered dose inhaler has been much more incentivized because of concerns about nebulizers potentially spreading COVID. The FDA has also allowed the compounding pharmacies, hospital pharmacies, more latitude in compounding medications that maybe are not technically on shortage, but they're just so hard to acquire that they are willing to let that happen more. So we're really appreciative of those things, and hopefully that will continue throughout the duration of time that we have these potential interruptions in place. Another thing that really, I think, stands out to the way that, again, some of these agencies have really stood up is the Drug Enforcement Agency. As we know, and as the listeners know, we've been in the midst of an opioid crisis for several years. And so there's a great amount of energy to limit the amount of opioids that could be misused, but that has had the negative impact of manufacturers not having as much active ingredient. And so the DEA has increased the allocations to drug companies so that way they can make more of the needed injectable critical care products. So that hopefully will be one of the ongoing remediations that makes this challenge, you know, not quite so substantial in the future.
Yeah, I certainly hope it becomes what we call the new normal. And actually, speaking of the new normal, it's virtual care. We've certainly spoken in this podcast about how that's affected and definitely become part of the new norm. But how about around our clinical pharmacists? How has virtual care affected them?
In most circumstances, it's affected them in a very positive way. And just as we've leveraged telemedicine, we're now leveraging telepharmacy. And so some of the discharge planning that takes place, participation in rounds, we've seen numerous examples of where our members have used virtual technologies in order to make the pharmacist more available during these very difficult times when you're trying to explain drugs, availability, costs, etc. One of the challenges that is still present is not all of these services are reimbursed, and that's not always limited just to pharmacists. Other clinicians have challenges. So one of the things that Vizient is going to be working on is trying to advocate for those reimbursement hurdles to be moved, so that whether it's pharmacists or nurse practitioners, other extenders, physicians themselves, that these alternative ways of delivering care are reimbursed appropriately to reflect the value of what's being done.
I certainly hope so. What is the new norm for our pharmacy colleagues?
In one word, I would think it would be agility. The potential changes and the uncertainty that is resonant now within healthcare is likely going to continue. And so you have to be able to adjust to those times. So, for example, if you have to deliver care virtually, you need to be able to do that. One of the things that we're hearing a lot from our members is that more and more patients don't want to go into the hospital, whether it's for an elective surgery or to get, for example, an infusion. So many of our organizations who've had home infusion services are looking to expand them, or they're looking to build them if they've not had them anymore. So it's being able to have that agility and figure out what's the alternative way in which I can deliver high quality care in the most efficient, effective manner possible.
You know, Stephen, I think you bring up a very good point, the importance of agility. If many people ask me, what is the new norm? And I think it's agility, fluidity. The old days of kind of sticking to your old guns or the way you used to do things, more than ever, you need to kind of think of a new way or doing things a little differently. So thanks for that. I appreciate that. So what do our pharmacy colleagues need to think about concerning a presumptive secondary surge?
First and foremost, it is the challenge of adequate supply, and we've talked about that, but making sure that you've got the infrastructure to monitor your inventory, that you're in great dialogue with organizations like Vizient, like us, like your distributors, like the drug companies, and making sure that consistent communication with the physicians is there. That has to take place. Our members, in some circumstances, they have weekly conversations, daily conversations, and so that must be foremost and present, to make sure that you can manage another round of COVID if it occurs and not crater your totality of your other care responsibilities. Also, having that dialogue to be able to sift through all the new information that is coming along to know, are we doing the right thing for our patients? And so physicians and pharmacists must be speaking about that on a very short, frequent basis. And then I think kind of, you know, we alluded to it, but what other avenues of care do we need to open, whether it's telemedicine, telepharmacy, home infusion, to make sure that we can meet patient needs? Because right now, people are very concerned that we've just put off a lot of care and it's going to build up. And so we're going to have to deal with that. And we don't want that to happen again, because people could have worse outcomes the longer their treatment courses, their diagnoses are delayed. So those are the things that I would really encourage the listeners to focus on.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think it's time to kind of reflect on what we did well, what didn't go well. It's going to be okay to admit you didn't do something well under the circumstances, but more importantly, walking away with saying, okay, I can avoid doing this again. So, Stephen, in short, what do our colleagues need to do right now?
I think this is a great opportunity for physicians to show even additional leadership in that responsibility for clinical and supply integration. Too often in years past, the clinical leaders have not had that connectivity with the supply chain leaders, whether it's pharmacy or other. And that absolutely must change for all the reasons that we've described. So for our physician colleagues out there, your colleagues, please take every opportunity to champion that role within your organizations. Then very much so as a pharmacist, I would say continuing and building upon the relationships that you have with your pharmacy departments so you know what disruptions might be taking place and you know how to respond to them and you're not reinventing the wheel each time a different type of issue or interruption occurs. And then I think the important thing that with this podcast that we're having right now with the information on our Vizient website is getting access to information quickly and being able to review it in a very timely fashion. There's no longer this sense that you wait until the clinical trial is published in total. We're having to make decisions with very limited information, and that's going to continue. And so we've got to make sure that we're applying the most rigorous scrutiny to that information again, so you as a physician are making the right decisions for your patients.
You know, maybe it's time to rethink on the P&T committee, maybe even expanding its scope, but I couldn't agree more that it's time that my colleagues and more physicians are involved with having that supply chain discussion of not so much thinking about new drugs, but more importantly, what's available, what's not, and trying to expand the scope of many drugs, particularly bringing back some legacy drugs.
Absolutely. Great concepts.
Stephen, thanks for taking the time to joining us today. And for our listeners, there's a section of the podcast page that actually has resources where you can get a link to the website that Stephen had mentioned. Please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And also please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategy. And for now, I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thank you so much for listening.